off singing pretty hard. If anybody knows who I'm referencing to, you know you're that aged about the same way I am. So, the God of the mountain. And so as we are going through this great book of Hebrews, and he's been challenging us, and last week we learned about he was the God of Sinai and of Mount Sinai, the God of Mount Zion, and these two mountains that the author is referencing to back and forth. And he's talked about how this God that was there and spoke from Sinai is this same God that sent his son to die on a mountain. Aren't you glad that Christ gave his life on a hill called Calvary? That we're the reason we're sitting here on St. Patrick's Day 2019 is because of what Jesus has done. You want to have real and relevant for today? That's about as real and relevant as you can get. Here we are, his children. Aren't you glad? But as we get and we study, and as the more that I study the Scripture and I've learned, there's a lot of people that look at the Old Testament as really like a crude or a primitive, and they say, well, you know what? That's just not the same God that we worship in this time of grace today. You'll say, it's not relevant. You know, he's not the same. He's changed now, and Christ has come. Listen, from the very beginning, Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all the way to the end of Revelation, where it says, amen. We believe that it's God's word from the front to the back. We don't pick and choose what, how's that getting us, by the way, when we pick and choose what we believe the Scripture? That's not truth, is it? I'm at truth in Sunday school today. One of the liberal theologians, Karl Harnack, he stated that the Reformers made a mistake when they canonized the Old Testament. There's many people today that say, hey, I'm not going to preach out of the Old Testament. I don't preach a lot on Sunday mornings, but on Wednesday night, I'm always in the Old Testament, by the way. If you want to hear some Old Testament preaching, come on out on Wednesday night. But it's good. It's real and it's relevant. And it also, and so he's letting us know that it's the same God. We're just as guilty. It's the same God of the Old Testament. That God, he'd see, well, he seems so harsh. Listen, the Old Testament was this idea of God concealed. The New Testament is him revealed. In these last days, remember, the beginning of Hebrews says, and he spoke in past by the prophets and all these things, but in these last days, he's spoken by who? Jesus Christ. So it's a completion. It's not throw one away. It's a completion of the entire text. And so when we get and we're finishing up chapter 12, that's where the author, this God of the mountain, how he's finishing up. And let's look at take your Bibles out. I pray that you have a Bible. If you don't, should might be one there in the pew back in front of you. Pull it up on your phone, whatever way. We're in Hebrews chapter 12 because I want you to see that I'm preaching you from the Word of God, not an agenda, not something that I'm making up, not trying to get a point across, but preaching and teaching you, thus says the Word of God. Take your copy of God's Word and stand to your feet. Let's look at Hebrews, the reverence, the reading of it. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. And the Word of God says this, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch our hearts right where we are. Don't let anybody leave here the same today for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. The author began this chapter admonishing us to run our race. He's comparing our life to a race, and several of our sermons has been focused on this life of a race, living our life out for Christ. What does that look like? What does that look like? How does your life look being lived out for Christ? And so I want us to understand this God on the mountain. And let's look about two ways we are to live for this God of the mountain. First is, live in obedience. Look at verses 25 through 27. see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates a removal of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's word, live in obedience. I love, he says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Listen, I like Francis Schaeffer. There is a God and he speaks. He speaks to us. He speaks how? He see that he speaks. It's this God that speaks to us through his word. What does this mean to you today? What does God's word, do you know he speaks to you? Not through a preacher. He speaks to you through his Holy Spirit that's implanted in you. When you got saved, you have everything that you need to hear God. When you ask questions, when you're asking him, God, I don't know what to do, where do you go? If I go to my feelings, they're fickle, man, they can change with the wind, can they not? I might feel good one day. I might be happy because I've eaten something, and so I'm happier. I might be hungry, so I'm angry. I'm hangry. Angry. We can't go off our feelings. We go off the truth, and that's why it's so important. And so he speaks. And I want you to think, God speaks through his word, and his words are his word is what? Effectual. Verse 25. If they do not escape for who refused him who spoke on earth, more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. That word effectual means successful in producing a desire or an intended result. Do you understand that God's word is successful in producing a desire or intended result? You're sitting here today because of God's word. We are gathered here to listen to his word. We're gathered here, listen, hopefully, to allow his word to penetrate our hearts right where we are. It's effectual. It produces results. Can anybody say amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. How do we taste? Man, we can just sit down and feast on his word. We can allow it to speak and penetrate. And if we really allow it, we're obedient to it. Do not refuse to do what? To obey him. So when he speaks, it's not just so that we can understand, but that we can apply it to our lives. In the past, God spoke on Mount Sinai. Remember we talked about that great when the Decalogue comes down in Exodus 19 and 20 and God shows up and that smoke-filled mountain and the thunder and the lightning and the ground's trembling and the trumpet sounding. Man, if that happened today, I promise you, you wouldn't be dozing. So, man, I feel like I could go to sleep today. It's warm in here. I'm just, if the place was shaking and the trumpet was sounding, oh my goodness. He spoke in that way, but to the point where they closed their ears and they said, hey, we can't handle it. Let Moses speak for us. Let Moses speak. And so Moses becomes that mouthpiece of God there. That the people said, we can't handle hearing God. So let Moses speak. So he becomes that mouthpiece of God. And he spoke to him. He said, the author's using this lesser to a greater argument. It's God that thundered in his word down from Sinai. How did that work for the Israelites? Let me ask you. Exodus 19 and 20, they saw the mountain quake. They heard the trumpet. They felt the ground shaking. They saw this visible illustration of God. They experienced him to the point where they were scared to death. How did that work for those Israelites? Not one of them, over 20 years old, entered the promised land. Do you understand that? Not one that saw that and heard it. No, we can't stand it. He's so awesome. He's so great. Not one of them would enter the promised land. Disobedience. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. And he says that lesser to the greater. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. See, in these last days, God sent Christ. He is his mouthpiece here on earth. And Christ speaks to us. And he tells us, you know what he says? He says, whosoever will, let him come to me. Whosoever will turn from his sin and receive me as his personal Savior, I will in no wise cast out. If you believe that Jesus Christ came and he is God that walked this earth, that he died on a cross, he was buried, but on the third day he arose. And if you put your trust in what he did, that sacrifice of sin, it says you become a child of God. But I'm going to tell you, saying that I'm a child of God and living it out, it's two different things. See, we want to say it, but we don't want to pay the price. And the price is when Christ moves into me and dwells within me, the Holy Spirit, it's going to change things. You understand? I had to apologize this morning. Now, come on, I got to get real, right? I can't sit up there and be a hypocrite and act like I got it all figured out. That's one thing that I've tried to do for you, be as real as I can be. I had one of my Duke buddies make me so mad last night. Goodness, he just poked in that hole so long, he compared my team to just no good and everything. I'm like, man, we did 1 point. I got so mad, and I thought, why am I mad? Think about that. Why not? It's good to have fun, but if it causes me to get angry, if it causes me, you see what I'm saying? How foolish that we get so passionate about things, and the truth of the matter is there's people dying and going to hell all around us. It has nothing to do with the ACC tournament. Can anybody say amen? And so I had to apologize to him. I said, I'm so sorry. I blocked you. I blocked you, man. That's it. You see, and I look at myself, and I preach from his word, and I see myself in his word. It's like a mirror that I look into. And you know when I look into it, I see all kinds of dirt and hair out of place and grime that God needs to clean up in my own life. Can anybody say amen? And so when he's saying this, it's effectual, it does it. If Moses spoke to these people and they saw this God of the mountain and hear so much more that Jesus Christ comes and speaks today, and we think that we can live in the disobedience to him and holler, we love Jesus, we know Christ, we're Christians. That's the world you live in today, by the way. It doesn't make a difference in our walk, in our language, what we do. We just do whatever we want to do, hollering, I love Jesus the whole way. You notice that? That's what you're surrounded by. Woe unto us if that's how we live, because his word, that standard that Christ came, was not just for a one-time experience for us to walk an aisle or wherever we got saved. It was a life-changing, ongoing, every day, dealing with sin in our life experience. Personal sanctification doesn't come. It's a lifetime of walking with Christ. His word is effectual. If the Israelites didn't make it in their disobedience, how do you think that we are when we've got so much more with Christ? It's effectual, but also it's final. Look at verses 26 and 27. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Too many people are building their lives on the things that can be shaken. Do you hear me today? Do you understand? God didn't just shake the earth and all that. It says, and Scripture tells us, and he's going to quote Haggai in just a minute, Haggai 2:6, where he's talking about a greater shaking and it's coming. Shaking. Is that a word, shaking? It sounded good anyway. Shaking. A greater shaking is coming. It's not going to be just the earth, but it's going to be the heavens and the earth. In fact, 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are all in it will be burned up. Man, there's coming. Do you understand? We put so much stock in the things that can be shaken. We get tore up about the temple, do we not? Oh, my goodness. I got to be honest again. Sammy's Ford tore up Friday. Notice I said Sammy's Ford. But I tore it up. I tore it up, okay? it seemed like Friday. But, you know, you have all these plans laid off. You know, in your mind, you set out your little plans, and if you're one of these people that plan things out and you got it all laid out, and then when something throws a cog in it, if you're one of them, it just gets wound up. Why do we do that? Because this world's not going according to we thought the way that it should be, right? We think that we think it should go just the way it is supposed to, and then when something happens, you get all tore up. And I got a little tore up to begin with, and I'm like, man, that ruins some 2-year plans and all these things going on, all these things. You say, guess what? It's something that can be shaken. It's temporal. Dear Lord, it's a Ford. It ain't going to last but so long, okay? I'm sorry, Sam. I think Kyle said the problem circled on the front in blue. Listen, but it's temporal. It's going to happen, guys, really. It don't matter what brand it is, right? It's the time's going to run out on things. Why do we put so much stock in the temporal, the things that can be shaken? There's coming a day that this whole earth, do you understand the earth will pass away? Heaven and earth will pass away. The Scripture said, by my word, and no wise will be cast out. It'll no longer pass away. His word are two eternal things in this room is you and I, the souls of men and women, boys and girls, and the word of God. That's the only two eternal things in this room this morning. How much stock are we putting in eternal? We're caught up in temporal if we're not careful, aren't we? And we get our eyes off, and that's what the author is trying to say. God's word is final. He's speaking from Sinai, and he thundered down the Ten Commandments, and the ground was shaking, but he's saying, there's coming a time where I'm going to shake it again, and it's going to be over. God spoke the universe into existence. Do you believe that? When he said, let there be, and there was, do you believe that? Because that's pretty important this morning. If you don't believe that, then your whole premise, look, is skewed. That's why it's so important that we understand that God is creator. You say, well, it really don't matter. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because if he spoke it all into existence out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing, he spoke it in existence, let there be light. And what the Scripture said, there was light. That's how God can do. He don't need anything to make anything. He just speaks. His word speaks it in existence. And you've heard me say this. If he can speak it in existence, he's going to speak it out of existence one day. Let there not be, and it's over. And it's coming, and Scripture tells us about that. So why wouldn't we be prepared for that? Why wouldn't we understand and believe His Word? It's the same thing those Israelites would say, how in the world? They can look up there on the mountain and see God that's shaking? How could they be disobedient? Guess where God dwells now? Here. He's deposited His Holy Spirit in us. How much more so? Should we walk in obedience to Him? He gives us His Holy Spirit. They didn't have this that we could neglect, throw it aside. It might not be picked up next Sunday, till next Sunday morning, and never think about reading it through the week or none of those things. They didn't have it. How much more so are we accountable when He's given us the Word of God, He's given us the Spirit of God? How much more? And that's what the author is getting at. And it's final. He said, it indicates the removal of all things, these things that can be shaken. But then he makes a statement, but that which cannot be shaken remains. What? What can't be shaken? What is that? The kingdom. The kingdom, my friend. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession for you and I. That kingdom will never be shaken. That place called heaven, that place where God dwells and the Spirit of God and Christ, His Son, and the angels that we talked about last week, and one day we'll all go to be there. It will never be shaken. So why would we not invest in that kingdom? This church needs to hear that. It's Hebrew church. Things were not easy. You remember, we've got to keep going back to that context. They were in persecution. Nero's coming. And Nero would persecute and kill and destroy and blame everything on the Christian. And this huge persecution is coming for them. And he's saying, listen, don't get your mind off of this. Don't look at the temporal and the ground that's shaking around you, but look at the kingdom that can never be shaken. That's a good word for us today, because this whole world's getting shaken pretty good, ain't it? It's a sad day when 49 people go to a mosque to worship and a gunman comes in and guns them down. I don't care what religion you're in. That's a sad day that you live in. And truth be known, what's keeping somebody from coming in this door? It can happen at any time, folks. Does that change the way that we do or act or how we go forward in Jesus' name? No. We march on. Why? Because we're marching to Zion. Our citizenship is in heaven. Listen. April 14th, 1962, old Dave Cooper was birthed into this world. I was a citizen of the United States of America under the flag of the United States of America. I became a citizen February 28, 1990. Old Dave got saved and become a citizen of heaven under the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Which one trumps which? One's not going to last. The other is. I am as patriotic as they come, but I'm telling you, my allegiance better be to the flag, the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, and I should make my stand upon His Word. Because I'm going to tell you, my country goes more and more against it, and I'm broken for it. The kingdom. It's a good word for this church of Hebrews. It could be encouraged, but it's a good word for Southport this morning as well. Right here. It's a good word for Southport. Great news. What's the great news? There's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a reckoning one day. And it's going to be a reckoning of His Word. To those that are disobedient and ignore God's Word, that's destructive. That's destructive. That's a scary place to be. He started it. He's going to stop it. This is a call to obedience. But why? Because God's Word is effectual. It says what it, and it'll be done. There's no escape from it. God's Word is final. He speaks His Word. He speaks through His church. He speaks in our hearts. Don't refuse His Word. Live in obedience. But lastly, look, live in worship. Verses 28 through 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He finishes off with that. Our God is a consuming fire. This world is full of many gods. Do you understand? The world says the best interest of our world is for us to coexist. Just coexist. Just love one another. And that's great physically. And if this was a utopia, that's a grand thought. But spiritually, that does not work. Do you hear me? I don't know where you stand today or what plan for it, but if you're not being biblical, if you don't understand God said it. Not a Baptist preacher, not anybody else, not an agenda. God said there's only one God and there's only one way to that God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, if you have a problem with that, intolerance, you've got to take it up with Jesus. But that should humble us to the point that why was grace applied to our life? Why do we have this grace? Why did He see fit to open that His eyes to us on that? You see, it sounds good, this whole view of embracing everybody, but are we going to embrace people as they plunge into hell and reject the only thing that's going to make them right with God? Are you going to be that tolerant because you're lazy and you don't want everybody else just to love you? We want everybody to love us, don't we? We want everybody to love us. And we can't stand it if somebody's mad at us. If you stand on this, get ready. You're going to make somebody mad. Okay? Accept that this morning. That don't mean to be glad. I don't want to make anybody mad. But if I stand on the truth of God's Word and I live it out as Jesus did, Jesus didn't live down and look down on everybody, which He could He? If anybody, He washed feet. He did it from a servant's position. He gave His life for us. And so we should give our life for that. We should live in worship to Him. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, "In view, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." In view of what God has done for us. He says, here's what he wants. You present yourselves as living sacrifices. Why? Sacrifice has already been taken care of. Me. Say amen. That sacrifice of the cross is the last blood that ever needed to be shed. And when we come under that blood of Jesus Christ, he said, you're my living sacrifice. You're my living sacrifice, which is what? It's wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How are you serving him? Oh, I don't have time, my friend. That is a dangerous place to be. We have time to do what we want to do. We worship what we put our service into. You hear me? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. We worship what we put our time into. Listen, that's one. I don't have time. All you have is time. You better look at yourself and see how you're presenting yourself. Is it a living sacrifice? Is it worship unto God? Then what are you talking about? Come in here and worship? Yes, come in here and worship should just be a reflection of what we've done the rest of the week. Does anybody hear me? You worship 24-7. Look at Romans 12:1. 24-7, 365 is my worship. How have you worshiped this week? And then when we come together as a body of believers, we worship him out of this week that we've worshiped. Look. And it should be the most rejoicing time on Sunday. Because we've lived and we have this acceptable service is this reverence and a godly fear, and we've lived in a way that has made a difference in us. Grace gives no license to forget God's holiness. Grace gives no license to forget God's holiness. God is holy. He calls us to be holy, separate unto him. When we understand his grace and we get a biblical view, a vision of God, you know what? We'll worship wherever we are, and we'll worship here together on Sundays. Because he makes this last statement for, our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Guess what? He's not changed, is what this writer's saying. He's given them that view back at Sinai. Same God. He's not changed. Now, we walk to God in Zion, consuming love. He did. He cared. He gave his whole life for his people, his children. He gives his life at Mount Zion that you could have grace and be applied. But he's the same God at Sinai, the God of the fire and the God of this great judgment. Same God. You can't have one without the other. He's the consuming God. He's a consuming God of love. And he's the consuming God of fire. Anybody say amen? Same God. You can't separate them. And if you pick one or the other, then you're choosing the God that you want to worship. And it's not the God of the Scripture. They go together. He's the same God. And that's what this author is trying to tell us. And here's the question. What's your vision of God this morning? What kind of God are you serving? Well, my God, he's all loving. He's a loving God, and we'll use that umbrella. He is the God of Mount Zion of grace and love. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't come with that judgment. It doesn't come with this standard of living. He is not a God that opens up his arms and say, you live any old way you want to, whatever sin you want to do, and my love will cover that. That sounds really good, but that's not biblical. That's man-made. And that's the world you live in today, that we can't even stand in a right way and on truth and say, that's not biblical. Oh, that's intolerant. You ever notice the intolerant? Only thing the intolerant crowd's not tolerant of is intolerance. Think about that for a minute. You'll get it in a minute. We got to stand on the truth in love. We got to reach our world with Christ. Why? Because this thing's coming to an end. He's a consuming fire, but he's also consuming love together. And when we choose one or the other, we're just choosing which God we're going to serve. He's the God of the mountain, both mountains. We are called to live in obedience. And we are called to live in worship. How have you worshiped this week? How does your life reflect the God that you know? If you know Christ, listen to me closely. He's going to infect, affect every area of your life. You're not going to come to church and be one way. You hear me? Let me put it as plain as I can put it. You're not going to come to church and be one way and go out here in the world and act another. It's going to affect the way that you live outside of these doors as well as you are here. And our worship is only going to be as great as when we understand those things. When I step outside the door, it's easy here, ain't it? It's easy to come here and we dress up as nice as we can and we come for a little bit. We're like, oh man, I'll be glad he hush up so I can go eat somewhere. I don't know where you think. I got to beat them Methodists out. We got to get there because the line will be really long. Sometimes that's how church is. If that's your church, you're missing out on it. It's the sanctity of the body. God called us together. Look around. This is our family. He's called us to serve together. Where? South Fork Baptist Church right here. To represent Jesus Christ. But it's not about South Fork. It's about His kingdom that's not shakable. His kingdom that will last forever. Do you understand South Fork Baptist Church, the building, will not be here forever? Does everybody understand? I said, ooh. It's been here 185 years. It's a long time. But it will not stand forever. Kingdom will, though. Souls that are sitting in his pew will, and the people that you bring with you and you go out will be forever and ever, either one place or the other. A place called hell that's separated from God. That God, listen, God did not create for any person to go. It's for the devil and his angels, and we choose to go there, okay? Or heaven, in a place with him forever and ever. Singing and worshiping and being together. No pain. No pain. No sorrow. No death. Which one do you choose? And which one do you choose to represent when you walk outside these doors? Let's stand. We're going to come and play. Applications, then we're done. How are you living in obedience? How are you? How's obedience played out in your life? Number two, what kind of God are you serving? Is it your God a buffet religion? You pick and choose what your God is and that's what you believe. That's not true. It's got to be based on the truth. Number three, how does your understanding of God affect the way that you live? If it's not affecting the way you live, I wonder if he's even there. If that's foreign to you, I'm telling you better get it right. Why? Because this place can be shaken before we ever go out the door. And the trumpet can sound and Christ can come back. And the only thing that's going to matter If you have a relationship with him, so you can play around and what you want to, but at that moment, it's too late. It's too late. Why would you reject the Holy Spirit of God? Why would you respect the unshakable kingdom? Why would you just throw it aside and say, nah, not for me? Why? For something that you've made up in your mind that don't even affect you when you walk out the door? What kind of God, if he can't affect me when I walk out the door, how's he going to ever get me into heaven? How? What's God saying to you? Altar's open. Ain't going to be no bowing our heads, closing our eyes, because we shouldn't be ashamed if the Holy Spirit of God wants to work in your life. And you walk and you come and say, I need that. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks in this room. Only God. What's He saying in your life? What's God saying in your life? Do you need to come and do business with God? Now, I'm saved, Lord, but really, I'm struggling. I get outside these doors and I just forget. I'm just a Sunday morning Christian that I want to make sure that I have this relationship with God. Come. What's He saying? What's He saying to you? Rather have Jesus than anything. In this old world, than to be the king of a vast domain. Nothing compares to Christ. I don't know what you're living for this morning. Nothing compares to Christ. How can you say that, preacher? I'm not one that grew up in a church. I didn't grow up with Christian parents. I didn't live that life. I've lived everything the world had to give. Done it all. I'm not bragging on Satan. I'm just saying I've been there. I'm not saying it from somebody that never experienced it. I'm going to tell you, it leads to nothingness. Leads to nothingness. You'll find yourself wondering and feeling like you're missing something the rest of your life. saying, what is it that I'm missing? You're always trying to get to the grass is always greener kind of mentality. Until Christ comes into your heart, that's all you got to look and live for. All the fun and all the sin in the world won't fill that void. What is Christ saying to you? I want you to know something. You can be saved right in your chair, right there where you stand. When you come to that reality and the Holy Spirit of God speaks to a person's life and you say, you know what, I need that and I receive that and I repent and I ask God into my heart. You don't have to walk an aisle. It's not coming down an aisle. I think that speaks volumes when we're not ashamed. Because God said, I won't be ashamed of him. But it's not walking an aisle. It's not going through a routine. It's coming to the knowledge that Christ, Jesus, saved me. He came to this earth, died for my sin. My sin. And acknowledging that and receiving that. The Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Ain't that great? Ain't that great? Tonight, Lee's going to be teaching. I'll use that love, Lee. Come on out and support him, right? We do. I love this man. Listen, I enjoyed our time riding back and forth as much as I did spending the time there. We needed that. We needed that because we work together, man. We're plowing together for the same purpose, and that's for the kingdom of God. And so come back. And I pray for me as I go down and preach in Moravian Falls Baptist Church that I preach the message and preach in a way that honors and glorifies God. One day, do you understand this? As your pastor, I'm going to stand before God and give an account of that word. See, it's a two-edged sword. I am going to be more strictly judged because of how I handle God's word. And that's nothing to take lightly. And nothing to take when God's children, you're his bride. You're his bride. People say, well, I love Jesus, but you don't come, I don't care. I don't have to come to church. That's like saying, I like you, David, I don't care much for Sandy. I'm going to tell you, you can mess with me a little bit. Don't you mess with me, Sandy. That's the same way. This is the bride of Christ. You can't say, I'll take Jesus, but I don't like his bride. As flawed as we might be, we're his bride. Lee closes.